We welcome you to a study in the Word. Our subject in our study in the Word is an in-depth study on love. This is number 4, and today's title is All of God's Ways Are Love. That's so awesome, man. All of God's ways are love. So we're going to get right into the Word this morning after we pray, and we have a short period of time here to cover a lot of material. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your Word together as family today. We welcome all those that are joining us by Facebook and by audio on our webpage. We thank you, Father, for those that are here today. We bless them, Lord. We thank you for revelation knowledge of your Word. We thank you, Father, that you will teach us. You will teach us your heart, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. Excitedly, we come before you this morning with joyful hearts.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get right into the Word. We're going to start off in Isaiah 55 and verse 8 through 9. I will be using the New King James as well as the Amplified. But Isaiah 55 verse 8, New King James Version, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways."
Amen.
"And my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, most people, when they read that, they have the idea that, well, if that's the case, then I can never understand God. I can't understand his thoughts or his ways. So why are you talking on God's ways? Well, this scripture just says that his ways are higher than our ways. It does not say that we cannot understand them.
Right.
It just says his ways and thoughts are higher. Why are they higher? Well, originally, that was not the case. When man was created before the fall, God and man walked together. They had full understanding of one another. God's ways and Adam's ways were one. They were absolutely one in thought, word, and deed. They understood each other. They walked in love one with another.
Amen.
Adam understood God's thoughts, and he understood God's ways.
Amen.
God himself put them in him, and God himself was teaching Adam. So there was no separation between God and man at that point. But when Adam fell, there was a separation that took place. Adam no longer was connected to God's heart, so he did not understand the thoughts of God any longer. And their hearts were not merged, so he did not really understand God's ways. He was removed from God's ways and thoughts.
Yeah.
But that didn't change God's heart. See, God's heart was still towards man, and he still wanted man to understand him. He wanted man to walk in his ways. So we're studying the ways of God so we can walk in his ways. We know that God is love. We've studied that for quite some time over the last 3 messages, and we'll continue to look at that. For the Word says that God is love. He's the being. So he is love. So naturally, it falls into place that all of his ways would be love, because that's who he is. This scripture really tells us that because of the fall, his ways and thoughts are higher. It does not say that we cannot understand them. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul had an understanding of God's ways. He had an understanding of God's heart because he took the time to fellowship with God. He put himself in God's heart, and he made himself in a position that God could commune with him in a very special way and bring revelation. So as Paul prayed here, this is one of Paul's prayer. It's the Holy Spirit praying through Paul for the church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, this is the Amplified Classic. "May Christ, through your faith..." Now, we need to understand that little phrase, "May Christ through your faith." Our faith is involved in understanding God's thoughts and heart.
Amen.
Our own personal faith. God has granted us the ability through the cross and by the Holy Spirit to come into an understanding of his ways and thoughts. But we have to apply our faith to activate that. Our faith is involved. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide. Make his permanent home in your hearts or in our spirits. May you be rooted deep in love and securely founded on love. We are supposed to be rooted in love and securely founded on love. What does a root do? A root is embedded in the soil, and it provides the nourishment for that plant, whatever it may be. It also supplies the stability for that plant. It's rooted and securely rooted in the soil so that it's not blown over. It can stand straight. And what's it talking about here? May we be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. We're supposed to be so rooted in love that the essence of our being, all of our thoughts and ways, are being drawn from love.
Amen.
Because God is love. As he is, so are we in this world. We are love creatures. That's the way Adam walked with God. He was rooted and stable and secure in God. But when the fall took place, that was no longer the case anymore. Adam could not be rooted in love because there was a separation now from love himself.
Yeah.
He could not be founded on love because there was a separation. That's why all of those covenants took place from the time of the fall all the way through to the cross. Those covenants were put in place so that man could, to a degree, root his life in love by obeying those commandments. That is God's desire. And he's made a way for us. So to be rooted deep in love, that means your roots of your being have gone down deep into love himself.
Amen.
And our life is being drawn from that love relationship with God. And also, we are securely founded on love. That means we're anchored in love. Our ways are love the way God's ways are love. Whenever we do not walk in love, we separate ourselves from our security and our being rooted. It's like we take away a part of our provision and a part of our anchor.
Amen.
We are to be so anchored in love that all of our ways and our thoughts are the same as God's thoughts,
yes,
and ways.
Amen.
And he's not hiding them from us. He has never hid them from man. Man chose to separate. God did not. So he's been spending all of this time, from the time of the fall, all the way through current, and all the way through for eons to come, revealing his heart and purpose and ways,
amen,
to us, and offering himself to us so that we can be anchored in his ways and know his ways. Verse 18, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his home, his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That, the word that is connected to the previous verse. If we are deeply rooted in love and founded in love, then this will happen. Okay, so that's what it's saying. Now, verse 18, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it. So in order to come into knowledge and wisdom of God's love, God's ways and his purposes and his thoughts, we have to be rooted in love.
Amen.
We have to be founded securely on that, will hold us stable throughout our life. There is nothing stronger in love. And when we do that, that gives us the power.
Yes.
It gives us the authority and the ability. It gives us the right to be strong, to apprehend or grasp. Apprehend and grasp means we can catch a hold of God's ways. We can understand them. And then it says that we can grasp and apprehend and grasp with all the saints. Now, all the saints are all of God's people. God's not holding this back from his body.
Amen.
Past, present, or future, he is after his church to understand him. We have to be the church, to be the body in this dark world. In order to bring the light to the dark world, we have to understand God's ways and walk in his ways. That's why God is doing this. So we can grasp. We can apprehend, so we can understand his ways and thoughts. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, like I said, he's not trying to keep them away. He's not saying you can't understand them. He's saying you don't have the ability right now, but I will give you the ability. If you stay rooted in love and anchored firmly and soundly on love, you can understand my thoughts and you can walk in my ways. That's what Paul is praying here. And that it belongs to us. And then verse 19 again starts with that. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves. Now I can tell you about the love of God.
Amen.
I can tell you about something. And you can have a certain degree of knowledge of it because I told you. But it's quite different when I have experienced it.
Amen.
Now, if you're born again, genuinely born again, and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have experienced that love.
Yes.
You have. But we can understand the depths and the height and the width and the fullness of His love even deeper if we stay rooted in that, if we meditate on it, we study it, we allow the Holy Spirit who lives in us, if we're born again, to reveal this love to us. But we have to position ourselves. We have to believe it. We have to apply our faith to it. We have to meditate on it. If we don't, we're not going to understand it, even though we're born again and even though it's available to us. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now, Brother Michael, that's just simply not possible. Then the word's a lie. The word says it's possible. The reason we don't see it in our lives is because we don't do this. We don't root ourselves in love. We don't walk the love walk. We don't correct ourselves with the love walk. We don't desire it. We don't meditate on it. We don't spend time in the Word concerning it, so it doesn't manifest. Because we don't really believe that.
Wow.
Now, if you don't believe it, tear that page out of your Bible and throw it away because it's worthless. But God's purpose and intent is for us to understand His fullness,
amen,
leaving nothing undone. And it, the Holy Spirit wouldn't put that in the mouth of Paul and in the writings of Paul and put the anointing on that and put that in the Bible if it wasn't possible.
Amen.
Now, I have a choice here to agree with this or to disagree with it. But we're not going to be the same now that we know this. We are not going to be the same. We are going to be limited because of our lack of understanding here. It is vital that we know the ways of the Lord. We must become spiritually minded. And in order to be spiritually minded, we must know the ways of God. We must make His ways our ways. There is no other way to be spiritually minded than to make His love our ways, to understand His ways and to walk in His ways. It is vital in our personal life. It's vital in our Christian life. It's vital in the church. It needs to be, I will put it this way, it needs to be the most important study in your life is to study God's love. Or if you're studying that, you're studying God Himself. And if you're studying God Himself, you're studying who you are. It is vital. If I highly suggest that you put the study on love as top priority above everything else in your life.
Amen.
The number one thing you meditate on where God's concerned. You take everything in your life and filter it through that love. It's the only way you're going to ever become who you really are in Christ Jesus. It's the only way that you'll fulfill your call in this life. You have to do it this way. There is no other way. If you're doing it by through a religious background and doctrine, you're more than likely going to mess up. You're not going to understand it. If you take the time to study God's ways and God's love, you will fulfill your calling.
Amen.
You will. You will not have to work at it white-knuckledly. You will just walk right into it. You'll walk right into it because God's love is flowing in you and through you.
Amen.
And you're returning that love to the Father, so there's no hindrance between you and God. You're walking one heart with Him. That is just not possible, Brother Michael. It is, or God's a liar. It's just that simple. Either it's true or it's not. And I don't care what translation you go to, you're going to see in various ways of being defined and interpreted, you're going to see it the same way. Mm-hmm. I love the Amplified because it brings the fullness of it out, that I can understand, that I really can understand God. I really can because of what He's done, not for what I do. You know, I can study this Bible from cover to cover, read it every year, completely through, and still not know God's heart. If I just read it as a novel, or just read it as a book, or read it as a book of morality, I'm going to miss it. This loving Bible is a copy of God's own heart to His people.
Amen.
It's a copy of love from cover to cover. And it reveals His heart, and it reveals who we are. But it also reveals the devil. It reveals his way. If we do not know God's ways, the enemy, the devil, will be able to easily deceive us. We will be carnally minded.
Mm-hmm.
That is where he works. He works in our mind. He works in our carnal nature. We are, some people say, human nature. Well, it's not human nature. It's the fallen human nature. God's nature, that man was originally created in, is love.
Amen.
As he is, so are we. We were originally created by love for love. And that's not changed. God has not changed. That's not changed. God's purposes have not changed. Real humanity is a love creature. That's who we really are. And if we are not walking in love, we are abnormal. So you say, well, that's just human nature. No, it's not. It's the fallen human nature.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil and his ways, you're talking about the fallen nature of man. You're not talking about God's nature and the way man was created originally to walk. And that's our goal. That's why the cross, so that we could come back to the fullness of who we really are. That's why Jesus came, for that very purpose. Well, we have to be spiritually minded. If we do not know God's ways, the enemy, the devil, will be able to easily deceive us. We will be carnally minded. There are two laws that govern everything. It's everything, no matter what it is. I can believe in these laws or not, but it doesn't change them. They are the two laws. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2, New King James, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me, that's past tense, has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Romans 8:5-6, New King James Version. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who was this book written to?
Church.
It was written to the church. It was written to born-again believers. Well, that's talking about those that are not born again. No, it's not. He's talking to the church. We are born again. We're filled with the Spirit. His life is in us because we're born again. That gives us the right to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have that right. But because we are human beings, created with choice, we can still choose to walk under the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death has not been done away with yet. It will be. Way in the future, it will be. When time is absorbed into eternity, there will be no more sin. It will not exist. But for now, till that takes place, there is a law of sin and death operating, and there is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, the law of sin and death has not always been around. Many people believe that it came at the fall of man. That's not when the law of sin and death came into being. The law of sin and death came into being at Satan's fall, not the fall of man. The law of the sin and death has been around since Satan fell, way back there when he chose to rise up above God. When he chose that, that was the creation point of the law of sin and death. At that point, that's when it was created. Satan created that by his sin, by his exalting himself above God. He tried to. That is when that came into being, right there. Before that, it did not exist. So what happened to Satan? He was cast into time. Time's his prison. He was cast out of heaven. He was here for quite some time before the creation of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve agreed with the law of sin and death when they separated. They became under the influence of the law of sin and death, but the law of sin and death was already here. They were sent, Adam and Eve was sent, to take dominion back, to take it out of the hands of the law of sin and death. I can't go into too much of that. It's a totally new, totally different subject. But I need to know the origin of the law of sin and death, because it has not been done away with. Now, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed by the cross from the curse that's on the law. That does not remove us from functioning in the law of sin and death. If I step out of the love of God, if I step into being carnal nature, if I'm operating that way, then I am subject to the law of sin and death because I'm putting myself there. But I don't have to function there because I have been redeemed from it.
Amen.
But it's still there. So I choose to walk in the law of sin and death, or I choose to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I have the right to. Now, until I'm born again, I cannot function there because I'm not in Christ Jesus. But there's a big difference. This is another reason why we need to know the difference between God's ways and Satan's ways, or the world's ways, or the flesh ways. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 now, because we can see this. There's many scriptures you can go to see the works of the flesh, or to see the difference between the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. You can see it in many scriptures. We're choosing this because it's pretty simple to understand, and it shows pretty clearly the difference between the two and what God has done to make the change. Starting in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, "But I say, walk and live habitually." What's habitually mean? It means it's my way of life. I'm not choosing this. I do it by habit. It's something I've put so much of my choice into, I put so much of my time into, I just respond that way. I just respond this way. So he's saying, if you're born of the Spirit, and if you're born again, you are genuinely born again, you've really given your life to God, then you qualify here. "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then," or when you do that, "then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh of human nature without God," or the fallen nature of man. You will not gratify that. You will not be carnally minded. You'll be spiritually minded. Verse 17, "For the desires of the flesh," now we're going to see the difference between the two. "For the desires of the flesh," or being carnally minded, "for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh," godless human nature. "For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do." So if you are walking in your carnal nature, if you are on purpose just functioning the way everybody else does, then you can't function in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, You can't function by the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't know His ways. They're antagonistic. They don't ever merge. They don't cross over. The things of the Spirit do not cross over, and there's no merging of the two. They're opposed. They can never walk the same way. And that's what he's saying here. But if you are guided, verse 18, but if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Why? Because you're guided by the Spirit. You're spiritually minded. You're walking the ways of God. You're walking a love walk here. And there's no law against that. There's no law. The darkness, the carnality of Satan, the works of the flesh cannot overcome this law because it's a higher law. It's God's law. When that cross come in, when Jesus hung on that cross, love hung on that cross.
Amen.
God made the way that we do not have to be subject to the laws of the flesh. We don't have to be. We can function in a higher law, but we have to do it by faith, and we have to activate that law. It has to be our choice to activate that higher law. If we don't activate and walk in the higher law of love, then we're automatically subject to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
We are functioning in one or the other. Well, I'm alone to myself. Then you're functioning under the law of sin and death.
Right.
Because there is no such thing as a law of your own self. It don't exist. You may think it does. Well, I don't believe in God. So that, no, I don't qualify there. You qualify.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. You're functioning under the law of sin and death. Unless you activate this higher law. And the law of sin and death has to be subject to the law of love. That's the way it works. But I make that choice. God's provided it. He's put the law in place. But I have to activate the law. If I don't go to the higher court, then the lower court rules. One or the other is ruling. But it's my choice. Verse 19, now the doings and practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. We don't have to think about it. In every heart, in every mind, there's a right and a wrong. We know. Even if you're not born again, you know what's right and wrong. God put that in every creation, every part of His creation, every man. We know. We may not be walking it, but we know. We may not like it, but we know. No matter who we are, we know. But now the doings and practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, division, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sects with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. And then he says, I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it does not say you're not going to heaven. It says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're to walk in our inheritance right now.
Amen.
In this life. But if you're walking in those things, if you're quick to temper, ill-tempered, you're envious, you're doing all those things, and there's other things in other lists that you could put in here. Romans has them, Ephesians, there's many throughout the Bible that talks about the works of the flesh. They are under this law of sin and death. Every one of them are. So if you're walking there, if you're walking in your carnal, fleshly nature, and that's your habitual behavior, you fly off the handle easily, you're envious, You criticize all the time. You do all these things. Well, then you are walking under the sin of death, sin and law, sin and death, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus cannot produce for you. It cannot produce. You cannot get the inheritance.
Amen.
Because you are rejecting it.
Right.
Well, I'm not rejecting it.
Well,
I want it.
Interesting.
Then you're going to have to change your ways to God's ways. You're going to have to submit yourself to the law of sin, of law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're going to have to be born again. There is no other way to move from one to the other. And once you are born again, you have to live that way. It's Lord and Savior. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're submitting to His ways. That's what lordship means. And when you do that, There's a but follows in verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love. Notice it lists love first. The reason it does that is because everything flows from love. It is the foundation of everything. So all of the fruit of the Spirit flow from love, so it's mentioned first. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within, so you're born again, within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, countenance. Against such there is no law that can bring a charge. Because it's the higher law. It's the law. It's the law of love. There's nothing, nothing can overcome it.
Amen.
Now here's the attitude that we as Christians must take. Verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. We live by the Holy Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. You can clearly see in those scriptures the difference between the two. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or God's ways, and the law of sin and death, Satan and the world and the flesh's ways. We can clearly see the difference between the two. Hallelujah. We don't have an excuse, my family. We do not have an excuse. Now, John 8:44. I have to move quickly here because that clock is moving. I don't like that thing. John 8:44, New King James Version. I'm just going to hit these and then get to where I want to be. John 8:44, New King James Version. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. All lies, all evil, all carnal nature flows from that fall of Satan originally. He's the father of it. He's the father of fear. He's the father of hate. God is love. God is peace. Not fear or worry. John 10:10, New King James Version. The thief. Now who's the thief here? Satan is. Now the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I, or Jesus, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So again we see the transition between the two. The law of sin and death, and the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. One is to kill, steal, and destroy. God does not destroy my family. If there's destruction involved, God did not do it. Now there's sin out there. That does it. That law of sin and death is doing it, not God. God's not guilty, he's love. Well, he allowed it. Well, he didn't allow it, we did.
Yeah.
We're the cause of it. We fell. We're operating in the law of sin and death. He didn't. We have a choice not to. He's going to get us out of it if we'll let him. He's the restorer. He's the refresher. He's the one that delivers. But he's not a destroyer. He never is under any way. And he does not bring it. It's already there.
Amen.
Because of the law of sin and death. He did not bring COVID-19.
Right.
Now, he'll use it to help people. Naturally, if you start seeking God, you're going to get help. But he did not bring it. He did not bring it. Sin brought it.
Amen.
Okay? And anything else related to it? As we study God's living word and walk in love, God's ways are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. All of God's ways are revealed in Jesus Christ. Amen. All of God's ways are love because God is love. If God is love, then we are love. If His ways are all love, then all of our ways are also love. Now we're going to do something here. I'm really hurrying here. I want to talk about that some more. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at God's ways. Now, some of us who have been in the Bible study before know what these are and how we do this. But I made a study many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago. I was studying who we are in Christ and who Jesus is and who we are. And in the process of doing that, you study God's ways. So I went through the Bible and I dug out tons of different ways of God. So God is, God does, those are His ways. And when you talk about the ways of somebody or the ways of a person, you're talking about his character. You're talking about what he does and how he does it, the decisions he makes and why he makes them, what's at the root of all of his actions and all of his behavior. You're talking about the depths of this person. So when we study God's ways, that's what we're doing. We're studying how he responds, what he is, how he is, what he thinks. We're studying that when we study his ways. And the Bible's full of it.
Uh-huh.
All you got to do is open it and study it. But we're also, because the word says, as he is, so are we in this world, we're also studying our ways. Because our ways, his ways, are supposed to be our ways. So I'm going to do, I wanted to go through this in detail. Each one of these is a series in and of itself. As a matter of fact, this whole thing today is a series in and of itself. And we're scaling it down to just one teaching. So I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to say a way of God, and then I'm going to make a confession based on that. I can't do this. I haven't handed it all out to everybody. We don't have time to repeat it. But if you want this list, go get this video on Facebook. Go to RollaHarvest.org. Click on the Sermons tab, and it will be down in there. Get it, study it, listen to it, point at a time. But I'll also give you some scriptures, and there's many more scriptures to go with each one of these. I just pulled up a few. Say it this way. The ways of the Lord are, therefore my ways are, and naturally the number one is love. 1 John 4:7, 1 John 4:15-17. I am a born-again child of God. Because He is love, and I am born of love Himself, therefore my ways or love, because His way is love. God's ways are absolute truth. John 17:17, John 3:33, Titus 1:2. God's ways are absolute truth. I walk in the truth, which is His word. Therefore, my ways are full of truth. God's ways are mercy. Psalm 145:8-10, Psalm 103:8, Ephesians 2:4. My ways are full of mercy because His way is mercy. All of God's ways are grace. Psalm 145:8-10. Psalm 86:15. Psalm 116:5. I walk in His grace, making my ways full of grace. Loving kindness. Psalm 103:17-18. Psalm 119:64. My ways are full of loving kindness because of His loving kindness. Goodness. Psalm 34:8, Psalm 107:1, Psalm 100:5. My ways are full of goodness because of His goodness. Faithfulness. Psalm 36:5, Psalm 37:3, Psalm 119:90. I am faithful in all of my ways because He is faithful. Integrity. Isaiah 41:4, Hebrews 13:8. I make sure that all of my ways have integrity because of His integrity. Long-suffering or patient. Psalm 86:15, 2 Peter 2:9, Exodus 34:6. I am long-suffering and patient in all of my ways because of the fruit of His patience within me. full of joy. Acts 2:28, Matthew 25:21 and verse 23, Isaiah 35:10, Isaiah 51:11, Nehemiah 8:10, Romans 14:17. My ways are full of joy because he is full of joy and has imparted his joy to me. Eternal without ceasing, for God is eternity. Deuteronomy 33:27, Psalm 90:2, Isaiah 44:6, Revelations 1:11. My ways and thoughts are eternal without ceasing because his ways are eternal without ceasing. Holy, Psalm 95:5 and 9, Isaiah 5:16, 1 Peter 1:16. I walk a holy life because he is holy, and his ways are my ways. I walk the love walk which makes my ways holy. They're steadfast. Daniel 6:26, James 1:17, Hebrews 13:8. My ways are steadfast and sure because I am standing on his word, and his ways are steadfast and sure. Righteous. Psalm 145:17, Psalm 11:7, Revelation 16:5. My ways are righteous because he is righteous, and he has made me righteous with his righteousness.
Amen.
His ways bring life. Acts 2:28, Proverbs 15:24, John 14:26, Revelations 1:18. My ways bring life because his ways bring forth life. And always right.
Amen.
God's ways are always right. Hosea 14:9, Psalm 145:17, Psalm 19:8. My ways are always right because his ways are my ways. Hallelujah. And there's many more that you can go through Scripture and find them. This is just a short version. I'm going to say them all at once now, and then I'll have to dismiss. Okay. The ways of the Lord and my ways are love, absolute truth, mercy, grace, loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness, integrity, long-suffering, full of joy, eternal without ceasing, holy, steadfast, righteous, bring life, and they are always right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Study this. Please study it. Make it a priority in your life. No matter what you do, study God's ways. Study love. Make it a priority above everything else in your life. If you want to study love, you'll find out that it will take care of depression. You won't have to study depression because love overcomes it.
Amen.
It'll overcome hate and fear and worry and depression, anger. It'll overcome debt. It'll overcome sickness and disease. It overcomes all those things. Love is a higher law. And if you study God himself and find out that's who you are, then you'll be walking in his ways. And you'll walk right through the storms of life.
Amen.
They'll be there. You'll have the problems, but you'll have the answer before the problem.
Amen.
And you'll have the Holy Spirit guiding you and teaching you as you make your steps. Folks, this is vital to the church, where the church is today. There's a lot of darkness out there, and we must be the light.
Amen.
And there's only one way to be the light. There's only one way to be without spot or wrinkle, and that's to walk his ways.
Amen.
To walk the love walk. This is going to be and is already an exciting series. I invite you to come back next week as we'll make another step. I don't know how many there are in this series. I know it will go a couple of months, maybe longer. But there's a lot here.
Amen.
And I know you'll never be the same.
Amen.
You'll never be the same. If you get a hold of this, everything in your life, your marriage, your family, your home, your business, your job, your health, your finances, all of that will change.
Yes.
And you'll walk through the problems and issues of life with joy and peace.
Amen.
Even though they're there. Father, we thank you for the revelation of your word today. I thank you so much that we're getting a hold of this. This truth is getting a hold of us. We're putting ourselves in a place where we can know you, Lord. It's your deep desire that we know you. You want that. You're not doing anything else. Thank you for revealing your heart to us, Lord. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.